Hello, and welcome to episode 299 of Ward's Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's and a very special guest. So, M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Joey, we'll start with you this week.
Hello. I forgot my name. My name is Joe.
You can Well, we're off to a fine start there.
You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
Female.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin, and you can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg. By the way, I told my parents today about, Jalal's face, little homo, his Twitter handle. And my mom goes, isn't Joey Meg's little homo? So yeah. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. I don't disagree now.
And very special guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'm Jordan Walker, and you can find me on Twitter at TV Talk with Jaywalk.
Welcome, Jordan.
Thank you.
For 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This never happens.
I know.
I love it.
We had a great time last week, and I was very excited to put the Emmy season to bed.
It was such a good season, though. There's so many good winners. Like, it was like, it's very rare that, like, everything that won is like you're happy about. Like, and that was, well, at least for me, I was really excited.
And piggybacking off what you just said, Megan, it's like, I've never experienced an Emmy season and Emmys telecast where everything was right. I wasn't upset. Mm-hmm. I wasn't pissed off that, like, this person didn't win. I was more upset with myself that I didn't get the predictions right that I knew I should have gotten right. That's what I was more upset about. But, like, it was just a flawless telecast, and everybody who won from the Schitt's Creek sweep to, like, Zendaya and, like, Watchmen, everything was amazing.
I've also never watched a show where I except for Zendaya, which I still have to catch up on that show, but I watched every show that won. Like, so I'd never experienced that before either, which was interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was only really one award on Sunday night that I was like, you know, I probably would have preferred somebody else in that category. And that was really Julia Garner for Ozark, just because I don't watch Ozark. But I don't begrudge her winning 2 years in a row, for sure, because she is a talented actress. I just, there are other people in that category I would have given it to personally. But I'm not upset by it.
I think I should have gone with Julia Garner. I was thinking about, because I listened to the next Best Picture podcast, and they talked about how they thought Julia Garner could pull it out again. And I thought that does make sense, because she did have a strong year on Ozark, I think, for the most part. And she has been everywhere. Like, she's in so many things, I feel like. And she's also, that's just become such an iconic character, Ruth, I think, from that show. So I guess it makes sense.
I predicted her.
Good job.
Excellent. So that is us looking backward, and today we are looking forward into the fall TV season, which is, it's really funny, guys. Rick, one of our listeners, sent me a Facebook message today and said, hey, I've got a really great topic. Why don't you give us three of your most anticipated fall TV shows? And I said, well, Rick, you're in luck, because that's exactly what we're doing tonight.
Like, oh, my God.
It's like, that's so funny.
Is he listening to our conversations?
I think he is. He is.
Rick, are you all-knowing, Rick?
Get out of my head, man. Get out of my head. So, yes, we are looking forward to the fall TV season. We are putting old television shows behind us, and we are welcoming new things or returning to new favorites or whatever it is that all of us are doing as the fall TV season approaches. So we're each going to go around the water cooler here and list three shows that are our most anticipated. Not that we don't have other things that we're looking for, of course, but we're going to list three shows that we are most excited about as the fall TV season continues to unravel or reveal itself. Unravel sounds very negative as it just falls apart. And then we will wrap things up with a flash forward to the media we are most anticipating in the upcoming week. So are we ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So, Jordan, since you are our guest this week again, why don't you start first?
All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to kind of cheat because I'm going to lump two of these shows together. And they actually already premiered in the last week or so. The Amber Ruffin show and Wilmore, Larry Wilmore's new late night show, both of them on Peacock. They just premiered within the last week of each other. And I'm a big fan of Larry Wilmore from his multitude of television projects over the last few years, as well as his ill-fated late night talk show, nightly show from Comedy Central a few years ago. I think it's perfect time for him to come back just with everything happening. And he has such a great political voice and just the way that he breaks everything down. I actually just watched the first episode and it's entirely different from the nightly show. The nightly show was, you know, shot in front of a studio audience. It had a panel on it. And this time he's just sitting in a studio. He's just like talking to the camera, talking to the audience as if, you know, we're just having a very intimate conversation. And it really reminds me of David Letterman's Netflix show. I can't think of the name of it, but that's kind of what it reminded me of. Yeah.
My next guest needs no introduction.
Exactly. I'm really excited to see the topics that he's going to be talking about leading up to the election. I think he has like 10 episodes left. The Amber Ruffin show, I think that's going to take a little bit more time, you know, because that's more like a traditional late night comedy show. But the unfortunate thing about that is that since, you know, we're in crazy times and with the pandemic and everything, she didn't shoot the first episode with a studio audience. And I think just with her getting her, you know, getting used to it and telling the kind of jokes that she was telling, she needed a studio audience because it just seemed like everything was falling flat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of like if you're watching Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, every single joke bombs and nobody laughs. You got that awkwardness. And that's what the entire Amber Ruffin show is, unfortunately, without the audience. Now, I can't wait until, you know, I don't know if they're going to do an audience in future episodes this season or maybe next season, but I think that show has promise, but it's just a little awkward watching just her like delivering these jokes, you know, in her monologue or whatever, and there's just no reaction to it.
Hmm. And you know, I have loved Amber Ruffin because she was on Late Night with Seth Meyers. I always thought that she was funny on that. So I'm excited to see that. I wonder if like some idiot people are just gonna watch and be like, no one's laughing.
Was like, right, exactly. And like I think they touch on that, you know, there is no studio audience. And she actually shoots on the same stage as Seth Meyers. And like she goes into like explaining all that. You know, Seth shoots Monday through Thursday, she shoots on Friday, so they just bring in another set and you know, it's in the same studio and in 30 Rock. But it you'll definitely, if you watch it, you'll see that it needs the studio audience for it to go, you know, just because she's in the studio, she has her sidekick there, and the jokes she's telling are funny and they're topical and you know they land, but you just kind of want that reaction just because the setup is to have a reaction. Hopefully in future episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I'll have to check that out.
Excellent. Megan, what about you?
So the first one that I want to bring up that I'm excited about is coming this week on Wednesday night on Comedy Central. It's South Park's pandemic special.
Ooh, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, before it kicks off the entire season later on this fall. But the funny thing is my brother and I have been talking about what is South Park going to do to talk about, like, what are they going to tackle this season? Because there's so much they could do. I mean, they from you know, people not wanting to wear masks, you know, to the like COVID. I mean, I'm almost like worried, am I going to be let down? Because there's so much that they could tackle and make fun of. Which would really help get me through this whole, you know, what we're going through. But I'm really excited about that. And it's an hour special. So I miss South Park hardcore. So I'm really excited for that to come back.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one as well. It's not on my list, but it's definitely something I'll be catching up on. Joey, what about you?
The first show I'm looking forward to, I'm going to pick something that's just coming back, is Superstore. Superstore comes back.
Yes.
I knew you were going to say that.
Like October 22nd, I'm super excited because they released the poster of it, and it was like everyone who works at Cloud Nine has a mask on. It's kind of weird that America Ferrera is not on the poster. It's going to be really weird, sort of an adjustment. I was talking to Jalal about what we think, like if they were going to get someone on the show, who would they pick? And I think one of the people that he mentioned was, he was like, just put Justina Machado on the show because she's already on the show as like a guest star. And the person that I really want on the show is Loretta Devine.
Oh my god.
Loretta Devine would be fucking amazing on Superstar.
She would be. That's great.
So I want her to be on it. I'm excited because I think Superstar, as I've said before, is a network comedy that manages to do very topical things without being schmaltzy or just like poorly written. I think what they do is really, really great. So I'm excited to get their perspective on all the morons that come into Cloud Nine, don't wear a mask and all this stuff. So sort of on the same lines as South Park. I'm excited to see how they handle the pandemic.
Yeah, that would be, that sounds good too. My first one is, let's see, I'm going to go in chronological order here. Premiering on HBO on October 25th is a new David E. Kelley limited series called The Undoing, starring Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant, based on the novel You Should Have Known. It sounds really good. It was originally supposed to premiere in the spring. HBO smartly saw the Watchmen phenomenon coming and moved it out of the Emmy cycle. I think there was maybe something that wasn't ready about it due to the pandemic, but I think more likely was they just had too much content between Watchmen and the other things that they had in competition that all suffered because Watchmen was there. So The Undoing on HBO starting October 25th.
I think that should be our next book club one.
Oh,
please let me join.
Yeah. I think, and I know Shadon will want to join because Shadon likes the book. so I'm sure she'll want to join too. So I already bought it.
I should probably get on that then.
Yeah.
I already bought it. I bought all copies. I left copies for you all. I'm surprised that one.
They're in the mail.
All right, Jordan, back to you.
All right, my next one is Fargo on FX, which is actually premiering right now as we're speaking, Sunday night on FX. It's the fourth season, and this was also delayed due to the pandemic, and it's been about 2 years since season three of Fargo last graced our television sets, and I'm particularly excited just because Chris Rock is in a very rare dramatic performance. And it's, as he said, his best performance that he's ever gotten to do. So unfortunately, there has been some mixed reviews over the last few days on the internet regarding the fourth season. I haven't really read them. I want to formulate my own opinions. So, I loved all three seasons of Fargo, and despite whatever reviews people are saying, I'm sure I'll still enjoy it. So I'm just going to go in with an open and positive mind and just kind of enjoy the journey that I've been waiting for the last 2 years.
It looks so good.
It does. Yeah.
It looks interesting because they do have like Jason Schwartzman is like, they have a lot of comedic actors doing drama, which I think is interesting. Which I don't know if that's why it's getting negative review or mixed reviews, but I know that all the seasons have had their own like quirks that were like I didn't like the first episode of Fargo, but then I loved it after that. But I think it's because if you're expecting the movie, it's not the movie. So that was a little jarring. And then with the second season, like the whole aliens thing was really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And then the third season kind of just fell apart with the twins and Nikki Swango. I love Nikki Swango, but like, I don't know. Each one has kind of like had its issues. So I'm wondering, what if this is like the best season that you and I both, what if we both really like, what if I really like it too? Like, what if it's like, this is the best season ever?
It could happen.
Yeah, it could happen.
Megan, what about a number two from you?
So I'm picking something else that's coming out this week. It's coming out Friday, I believe. It's Emily in Paris with Lily Collins, which it just looks fun. I don't know. It looks like something Sex in the City-esque because of who's attached to it, the same producer, I believe.
Darren
Star. And I just feel like, I don't know, sometimes you just want to, especially right now, you just want to escape. And I feel like that could be a fun show where it's about like a marketing director who goes to Paris to lead a marketing team. And I don't know, just the fashion sounds fun and everything. I don't know. It just sounds like something that I might enjoy. So I'm looking forward to that.
Looks like a cupcake of a show.
It does look like a cupcake of a show.
Yeah.
Joey, what about you?
I don't think they're going to approve that.
Put that on the poster.
They'll put, like, question mark?
Yeah.
What does this mean?
The second show that I'm really excited about also comes out this week. I'm not really sure. I don't know. I saw one trailer and I thought it looked kind of cool. I'm not sure what the reviews are like. AMC is debuting a show this week called Soulmates, which it's an anthology series. The log line on IMDb says, takes place 15 years from now when science makes a discovery that changes the lives of everyone on the planet, a way to find your soulmate through six provocative stories about the cost of finding true love. But it has a really good cast, like Sarah Snook is on it, Malin Ackerman's in it, Kingsley Benadire is in it. I don't know. It's from the people, one of the writers of Black Mirror, so I was like, sure, it's Black Mirror meets Modern Love. Fine, give it to me.
Yeah.
It's an anthology. I realize that I sort of just really want like an anthology series, and I'm not really ready to watch The Twilight Zone. So, I could use something weird because what the fuck else is happening in the world? So
can we have something that's not like post-apocalyptic?
Yeah.
Or like something like
maybe I was we need right now. Yeah, maybe it was maybe I was just responding to it was like, oh, there is a future. That's great.
Fear the Walking Dead is coming back if you want pre-apocalyptic. But I think Fear the Walking Dead is just the Walking Dead like parallel.
With a different title.
It's the Walking Dead, just like the lake house, like about 2 years behind the current Walking Dead. Like, it's just like the same thing.
Do you actually watch it?
I did watch it at some point, and I was like, it like immediately jumps to like they show like, you know, they're starting to be zombified or whatever. And then it's like a week later, it's like everybody's zombies. It's like, okay, way to go, guys. Like, you've already caught up to the other show. Like, I wanted to see like, how did the CDC handle, you know, like all these groups. And like, no, it's just like immediately zombies. It's just a different group of people dealing with zombies.
And then they were all zombies.
Yes, that was it. It's really fast.
Not to be confused with something that probably will not show up on any of our lists, but Walking Dead, The World Beyond.
Yeah, what is that? Is that after everyone dies? Is it just zombies? Well, that's always been my show that I wanted to pitch. Was it just zombies living their lives?
Could it be a sitcom?
Yeah.
Like, all they would have to do is turn the camera on the people that are watching it.
It's kind of like my idea for Jurassic Park with
the cleanup crew.
That was our... Well, the pterodactyl working at McDonald's was what I want for the third one, like where it's like immigration issues with the dinosaurs, like trying to assimilate into the culture and like, what are they going to do? Where are they going to work? Like, that's what I wanted. Okay.
It's, I thought it was going to be like something outside of the United States, but, the tagline in Entertainment Weekly is "Teens in Nebraska try to survive post-zombie apocalypse."
Oh my god!
Great!
All that corn, zombies, and all the corn.
Don't you love how they were just like, "Guys, we have an announcement. We're ending The Walking Dead," and everyone's like, "Ah!" And I was like, "But don't worry."
But we still get 20 episodes and 3 spinoffs.
Oh, right.
Exactly. And movies. Don't forget the movies.
Yeah. So it's really not ending.
No. It is the show that doesn't end, and it's also the show about nothing. Like, it's like Seinfeld. That is Seinfeld's tagline, but it is literally about nothing. They're just milling about, like, Georgia, and they're just, like, looking for places to go to avoid zombies. It's not about anything.
No, I agree. Joey, did you go last?
I did.
Okay, so mine is very quickly. October 30th, Mandalorian Season 2. Sorry, I just need more Baby Yoda in my life. So that's what I'm really looking forward to. I have nothing else to offer. I'm sorry. That's just it.
Baby Yoda, enough said.
I mean, the trailer itself just sent me into fits of rapture with, you know, the Baby Yoda clicking the little button to close his little egg pod, so...
You mean Jalal's son?
Yes. Sorry.
Was the Mandalorian that good? You know, because like I'm not a Star Wars person, and I heard about it. I just like figured I can skip it. But then, you know, it racked up what like 8 Emmys last week. And I mean, it's obviously something there. You know, I kind of tried to avoid that whole Baby Yoda thing, like the plague last spring.
I didn't see one episode of it, Jordan. I didn't see any of it.
Are you going to, like, watch it, like, Season 2? First of all, I thought it was an hour, so that was an instant turn-off, but now I know it's a half hour.
It's a half hour.
Yeah, each episode's are a half hour.
I don't have Disney Plus.
I feel like they're, like, all 40 minutes.
I don't know. I just, like, I feel like...
They're between 30 and 40.
I don't know anything about, like, Star Wars, so I feel like I'm going to be missing stuff.
I mean, it's a standalone story, but it does have... references back to the original trilogy. I mean, it's good. It's good. I liked it. I wouldn't say it was. I don't think you should worry about being lost.
If you find yourself getting lost, just go pew pew to yourself and you'll be gone.
All right. Jordan, why don't you take us home with your third option.
My third one is a fun one, and it's the one my most looking forward show of the fall. Sunday, October 18th on ABC. It's Supermarket Sweep.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm so happy that you brought that
up. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that. I almost picked that as mine, so I'm glad I picked something different. You know, the reason why I didn't pick it is because Leslie Jones was being so pouty about Schitt's Creek. That's the reason why. I was like, Leslie, come on. You were, like, so excited about the Emmys, and now you're all pouty. Like, stop.
Like, yes.
And then
like,
she plugged her show.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. But I love Leslie Jones. I think she's going to be, like, the perfect person for the show. And like with all of ABC's game shows, like on Twitter, if you type in like my name in Supermarket Sweep, I've been like pushing like ABC, like reboot the show. And
so wait, are you getting a producer cred?
You know, I should be getting a producer credit for that, and I should be getting a producer credit for King of Barris' latest Blackish spinoff. I should be like a fucking producer,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to make that happen.
Yeah. And hey, Kenya, if you're listening, you know who I am because I tagged you. So you took that title from me, Kenya.
And
all
right? Jurassic World 3, if you're listening, pterodactyls working at McDonald's. Make it happen.
So yeah, Supermarket Sweep. I love the original. I think the episode still might be on Netflix. They had like a handful. But it's like, I love grocery shopping too. You know, I'm a quick like,
I hate grocery shopping.
I just like go in and I know exactly what I want, how much I should spend. So that's another reason I would like do great on that show, like that and The Price is Right. I am Wheel of Fortune. Like I would like kill on those shows. So
don't you remember there was like a block of television where it was Supermarket Sweep and then Shop Till You Drop? Anyone?
Shop Till You Drop. What was Shop Till You Drop?
Shop Till You Drop, where you're like shopping in a mall. Hold on.
I do remember that.
It's not as good. It's nowhere near as good as Supermarket Sweep.
I think my show is always Finders Keepers, where they just have you looking through like you're in these these quarters, like a house, and it's like nothing but trash. Like it's like a hoarders type show, and you have to dig out and you have to find something. It was called Finders Keepers. That would probably be my show that I would do best on. I just dig through that shit.
Megan, what about you?
So the final pick that I've chosen is not coming out this week because I realized I was going to pick that documentary about a murder documentary, and I that's a movie, so I can't do that. That one that you sent me, Joey, about the guy who killed Watts. What's his name? That documentary. Oh, I do want to see that, but that's dark. But so I'm picking. I think it comes out Friday, October 23rd. It's The Queen's Gambit. It's a miniseries with Anya Taylor-Joy, who's a chess prodigy. And it just looks like it might be fun. And I really do like Anya Taylor-Joy. I think she's a really good actress. Like, and I think she's one to watch in the next, like, 10 years. Like, I feel like she'll be nominated for an Oscar and win. Like, I just feel like she's really good. So I just thought that looked like it might be fun.
Did you see the trailer?
I saw the little teaser trailer where it looks like very like charade type, like Audrey Hepburn, Cary Grant type of thing.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch that. I saw the trailer and I was like, all right, I'm in for that. So yeah, that's on my list of things that I really want to watch.
Cool.
Yeah.
Joey, what's your third?
Okay, this is going to be kind of mean. Is that okay? I don't like that assumption.
No, I'm just thinking of, like, all the things you've said about Ryan Murphy. Like, we should just have, like, a...
Oh, God. I would probably say... pick my last one, so I want to pick a different one. Let's just talk about television. The other one that's also coming out, it's also coming out this week. I feel kind of, you know, I don't know. Okay, fine. Monsterland. It's a new, streaming
Hulu.
what's her face? Anne Dowd saying Hulu when she won her Emmy, like on a loop. Hulu. It's like, it's a Hulu show. It's another anthology show. Encounters with mermaids, fallen angels, and other strange beasts drive broken people to desperate acts. But I saw the Caitlin Devers in it.
Yeah, I saw
wherever she is, I will follow her. I love her so much.
Did you see Coastal Elites on HBO?
I did. Yeah,
She was really good in that one. Like, oh my god, like hers like gave me goosebumps right at the end.
That movie was way more dramatic than I thought it was going to be.
Same.
I didn't know what to expect, to be quite honest.
It was like, it starts off really funny because, I mean, you know, Bette Midler, if you're going to open your hour and a half movie with a 25 minute monologue just from Bette Midler about how she's a crazy New Yorker who like would fuck the New York Times if it asked. she was really funny. And then it like, as it goes on, it's like, oh, this is like really dark.
I don't think it was dark. I think it was just like realistic. You know, we live in dark times. So like maybe it was dark.
That's true.
Well, I mean, like, because I think Meg's the only one who hasn't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
The last monologue is from Caitlin Dever, and she's a nurse working at a hospital in the middle of coronavirus, and she talks about how, like, a patient that she becomes friends with dies. It's really heart-wrenching. Maybe that's just what I mean by dark. It's just sort of like, it forces you to look at it. Yeah, it really does. And there's certain things in the Sarah Paulson one that's really, really sad and very, very relatable. But not relatable. Monsterland. Caitlin Dever, Taylor Schilling, Jonathan Tucker, Kelly Marie Tran is in it.
I said Kellyanne Conway.
Kellyanne Conway. I mean, if it was Kellyanne Conway getting eaten by monsters for six,
I thought she would be the monster. I'm sorry.
That would actually
mean now.
I know, I'm a bitch. Would you say, Clarence?
I would say that would be a really great episode of television if there were some, like, evil political person who was actually a monster.
But like, it would be, like, Mitch McConnell. It would be, like...
What was that show that Megan loved where it was, like, the... Mary Elizabeth Winstead was in it?
Oh, it was Braindead.
Braindead, yeah.
It's such a great show. I'm so mad that it did not get a second season because it was all these politicians who were you know,
monsters.
Yeah.
Interesting. Talking about Coastal Elites, they had a different series of monologues originally designed for just to be sort of political. And then, of course, they were going to produce it at the New York Public Theater, and then coronavirus hit, so they decided to rework it to basically be more current, be more of the moment.
Wow. So
that's why it gets increasingly dark, because the Bette Midler monologue was the original one. She was supposed to perform that at the public theater.
Wow. That makes sense.
And the Issa Rae one is so good. I think you'd like it, Megan.
I know. Yeah. I do need to.
It's well written.
Now that I'm settled, I can watch more things again.
So what? I wonder if that's gonna. I know we're like a year away from Emmys, and we don't want to talk about Emmys anymore. But I'm gonna be very, very interested to see how that plays as like a TV movie.
Well, I don't. They're not. Yeah. They don't call it a TV movie.
They're what do they call it?
They're calling it a special event. They're not sure what to do with it, because they told me. In all of my conversations around it, I was not to refer to it as a TV movie.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah, they call it.
That is interesting.
So it might
probably
be like
a variety special? Word.
Yeah, it could be something like that. I don't know.
I mean, if Bette Midler can get nominated for the politician.
Yeah. Did you notice, did you understand, I'm just curious, Jordan and Joey, since you two have seen it, you knew who Caitlin Dever's patient was that died,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Who was it?
All right.
I'll mess with
you. I don't want to spoil it.
Now I know her patient dies.
Because I loved how it connected at the end. I just didn't know it was supposed to be a real person.
Hold on.
No, just Joey's going to text you. All right. Wrapping this up. The last one that I'm looking forward to has been a show that has been televised, or commercials have been airing for like what seems 3 months now. And it's another David E. Kelly production. It's on ABC, so it's not a streaming thing. And it's called Big Sky. And I have no idea what this is about. It feels a little Twin Peaks-y, or maybe more Picket Fences-y.
Or what was the one we liked that... with Matt Dillon from a few years ago, Wayward Pines.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But it's got a good cast. It's got John Carroll Lynch. It's got Ryan Felipe. It's got Jade Pettijohn from Little Fires Everywhere. And it's got Valerie Mahaffey, who is not to be confused with Julie Haggerty. Sorry. Because
that's
I
funny.
Did
that. Oh.
Anyway, so Big Sky comes out November the 17th.
Oh, I think that looks good, too. That's a good pick.
Yeah,
I saw a commercial. I totally forgot all about that. What's network television? What?
Oh,
all right.
I got your text, Joey. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, now I have to watch it because I want to be in on this.
I have to rewatch her little monologue to, like, connect the dots.
Yep.
Yeah, it's mentioned in the dialogue. Like, you'll notice it now that you know it. You'll know it now.
Interesting.
All right. So let's move off to the flash forward to the media that we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Jordan, again, guest goes first.
I looked, and there's really not that much coming up in the next week, but I've been severely behind on last week's television. So last week's television is going to be my fast forward into next week. I have to catch up on Lovecraft Country, Fargo, and I'm probably going to try to finish Ratchet if I can sit down and get through it. Mm. And then also The Vow on HBO.
Ooh. Yes.
Love me a good cult series.
Me too.
There are so many cults.
I love it.
So many cults.
Megan, what about you?
Well, probably South Park. I'm really excited about South Park, but also watching The Vow and catching up on Eternal Beauty with Sally Hawkins is a movie that's coming out Friday. And I think I have a screener to it still, hopefully. So I would like to watch that finally.
Joey?
I have a bunch of stuff that's new. I do want to catch up on a bunch of TV that just came out, like Fargo, and I want to watch The Mandalorian. I need to catch up on Lovecraft Country and The Vow. Some stuff that I'm looking forward to that is coming out. This is cheating a little bit because I've already seen it. I reviewed it for the main site on Wednesday. The Boys in the Band drops on Netflix, and I was really enamored with it. I'm going to interview Joe Mantello this week, so I'm super excited.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I'm freaking out. but on the TV front, Michelle Buteau is a comic and an actress that I really like. She has a Netflix special dropping on Tuesday. Michelle Buteau, welcome to Buteauvia.
I love her. I love her.
Yeah. And then a show that I'm sure Megan will want to catch up on is, I think the one that she previously mentioned, American Murder, The Family Next Door, which looks fucking
terrifying.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
And then there's like maybe that's new. That's it. I have a lot to watch.
Excellent. So I am looking forward to three things. I also need to catch up to Lovecraft Country. I got through 5 episodes pretty quickly, and then the Emmys happened, so I'm behind on 6 and 7. Coming up on Tuesday, presidential debate number 1.
Oh, right. Yes, baby. I didn't know we was going to be able to mention that one.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
He's going to say it.
Someone read to me today that he's not preparing. And what he is preparing to do, yeah, I know. What he's preparing for is to talk shit about the Biden kids.
Oh my God.
To stir Joe to go off the rails so he can now say, look how crazy he is. He went.
I hope he doesn't talk about Bo.
He will.
Yeah.
That's like.
He's definitely going to talk about Hunter.
Hunter. Yeah. Like, okay, like, been there, done that. But, like, you have to have some decency and compassion somewhere.
So you know that he's going to talk about Bo. So, because he doesn't have decency or compassion for anybody.
Can I please say, if I don't mean to speak for everyone here, but I'm just going to speak for myself. If there is anyone who listens to the podcast who is A, a Trump supporter, or B, a conservative, please go fuck yourself.
Oh, damn, Joey.
Putting it all out there.
Jeez, there goes our last listener.
You know,
I'm not even sorry.
we do have a review on iTunes calling us something, referring to us being liberal people. So
good.
That and it's a 1-star review.
I hope that we should. I hope Joey gets that pull quote somewhere. Like, here's an endorsement of the podcast. If you're a Trump supporter, go fuck yourself.
There goes our like endorsement from Blue Apron.
Breitbart. Breitbart's out now.
Oh wow! All right then.
What else are you looking forward to, Clarence?
There is a movie coming out on Netflix on Friday. It's a documentary called Dick Johnson is Dead.
Yeah, I think that looks good too.
Yeah, I had a screener for it this weekend, but they only gave me like 12 hours to watch it, and I didn't get a chance to watch it, so I missed it. I've asked for them to reinstate it so I can take a look at it in advance of its premiere on Friday. But essentially, it's about a documentary filmmaker whose father is dying from dementia. And before he is completely gone, they stage different ways for him to die as a joke. And it's a way of both of them learning to cope with and accept death.
Oh. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've heard really great things about it. So, again, it comes out on Netflix this Friday. Dick Johnson is Dead.
Oh,
wow.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to end things on a downer.
That's okay.
Pepper, go fuck
Bring
yourself.
It back. Yeah. Well, yeah. That makes me think of South Park's, like, the Washington Redskins, go fuck yourself, spectacular. Like, they have a holiday special that's called the Washington Redskins, go fuck yourself, holiday, spectacular. So.
Oh, God, I'm
going to die. What did they change their name to? The Washington...
They're just Washington right now.
Yeah.
They're just like the Washington...
Which sounds like... That
it's just
sounds
Washington.
Like That's a plot out of South Park, if ever there was one. It's just, let's just call them Washington. Like,
they should be just the Washington Washingtons and just have like a George Washington, like, you know, mascot.
I think it should be the Washington humans, like the human beings, like from Community. Just be like the human beings. We got everybody covered.
Or like the Washington, or the Washington footballers.
Yes. The football players.
I just Googled because I didn't know if they had a different name, and I clicked on an article from The Independent. It says, owner Dan Snyder reluctantly agreed to change the name, which is considered racist by some Native American groups.
Oh my God.
It's like, let's work on phrasing, or just stop lying. What the fuck?
Remember. Oh, I just realized American Murder, The Family Next Door is about those people in Colorado.
Yes.
Did you see the trailer for that? The trailer is scary. The trailer freaks me out.
She is from North Carolina, and her family, it was all over the news here for months. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bringing it down again.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
On a side note, Joey, I'm trying to decide when I can go down to Wilmington so I can stalk the filming crew of Scream 5.
Oh my God.
I'll have to take a picture and put it on Twitter. I got this pin that I saw on some like horror pin site thing. It's a pin of Ghostface laying on his stomach with laughing, but he's using a, like, you know, those like big red lips phones.
Yes.
Like, you know, where you pick up like the top lip as the receiver. It's a pin of Ghostface, you know, making phone calls with a red lips phone. I will show you a picture because none of you are reacting. So it's obvious.
I want to see this.
Like a fart in a spacesuit.
Yes. Yes. Please.
Yes. Please share.
Please share.
I will.
All right. Does that cover it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3Ms plus very special guest, Jordan Walker. And again, that's contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow. Except apparently Trump voters.
Come on yourself.